probably already feeling better just from listening to the Weekly Checkup with Dr. Bruce Feinberg on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Whoops, it's not the Bruce Feinberg Checkup Show. It's actually the Elise Kling Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. That's a... Fred is telling me, oops, sorry about that. Anyway, no, it's me. I'm here. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, and online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Phone lines are open. No problem getting online now if you want. They're wide open, as a matter of fact. Let's start with what's going on this week. Hello, Facebook. Facebook finally filed to go public. I think everybody got very excited about that. But there is a whole other group of chats going on right now about whether the seven-year-old company really should be worth $100 billion and whether Mark Zuckerberg should still hold majority voting rights and what that means. And it's not making very much money at the moment, but it certainly has the potential. Hidden inside their filings with the SEC was a notification that they now have 845 million users. Very shortly, before the midpoint of the year, I think Facebook will be at a billion users. Now, think about it. The world has 6.5 billion people. Maybe we're at 7 billion people, and 1/7 of them will be on Facebook, and it's only growing. It is just absolutely amazing. The Dow had some good news this week with the economy. It was up 200 points. It ended the week at 12,862 and change. The Dow Global Index ended up this week. The 10-year Treasury bonds 1.94%, which is absolutely unbelievable. And we are, it's hard to even imagine that that's where things are. But they are. Really interesting. The jobs number for January was unexpectedly strong. That is great news. U.S. employers added 243,000 jobs. That's twice the number forecast. The jobless rate unexpectedly dropped to 8.3%. This is the official number. But even better, the U6, which is the total big, broad measure of unemployment in this country, that dropped to about 15.1, or maybe it's, yeah, I think it's about 15.1. Down a full percentage point from where it's been even 3-4 months ago. So that was great. Stocks have hit the highest level since 2008. The NASDAQ is at an 11-year high. Treasury pipe prices, of course, we just discussed that, 1.94%. They fell. So the Dow, this so far in January, has risen 3.4%. It is the largest January point gain in history. Full-year results for the Dow Jones have followed January's direction about 75% of the time, just for those of you keeping score at home. Always interesting. Standard & Poor's S&P 500 index also jumped by 4.36%, also had the largest January point gain in history, 54.81 points. And the NASDAQ surged 8%, or 208, almost 209 points for the month. Now, Ben Bernanke, while saying that some economic indicators have shown some signs of improvement, still believes that the economy is vulnerable to shocks. The budget deficit needs to be cut. They're all really worried about resolving Europe's debt crisis, which is just growing at all leaps and bounds. China is considering greater involvement in the European debt crisis, and they are thinking about participating in the European Financial Stability Fund. So that was kind of big news. Also on the European front, all but two of the European Union's 27 states agreed to a German-led pact for stricter budget discipline. They also endorsed an agreement on a permanent rescue fund. This is not actually an agreement to do anything. It's an agreement that they need stricter budget controls. Just want to be really clear about that before everybody gets really excited. But on the auto front, this was sort of more good news this week. Light vehicle sales jumped at their fastest pace in nearly 4 years. They're rising by a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 14.1 million cars sold. Retailers are doing well, which is good. Interesting with the auto numbers were prices. Auto prices are firming up. And they're now going back upwards, trending upwards again. We've seen this trending upward for the used cars, but new car prices are also starting to trend upward again. So that was good. American Airlines, which, as you know, a few weeks ago filed for bankruptcy, said they're going to try and cut 13,000 jobs and terminate pensions in an attempt to save $2 billion in annual costs. There's definitely litigation on the horizon with the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is what all employers pay into to protect pensions should the pension, or I should say everybody pays in who has a pension, because they're going to be stuck picking up all the rest of that, and that's the American taxpayer. So there's some stuff this week. Very, very interesting things. Now, let's get to the really heart of the matter. What happens with the Super Bowl? It's Super Bowl Sunday. Madonna is singing. That was sort of interesting. We're going to celebrate by having Madonna music today from, you know, taking a look at her history, which I'm sure she'll just pick exactly the same songs or pieces of them. But as far as the stock market goes, Barron's this week reported that it doesn't matter if the New England Patriots or the New York Giants win the Super Bowl or even how the game is played. So according to S&P Capital IQ, the matchups of the last 45 years, looking at every angle imaginable, the analysis shows that whenever a former champion comes back and wins the Super Bowl, the average return for the S&P 500 index is 13%. Because both the Giants and the Pats are three-time winners, that bodes well for the index, Barron says, regardless of who wins the Super Bowl. Wow, that just cuts the gut out of it. Now, you'll notice online, WSB did a poll of the talk show hosts, and I have the Patriots pulling ahead of the Giants, which is apparently not... I don't know. I think more people think the Giants are going to win this. And I don't know what to say about that other than Sam, my husband Sam's whole family lives in Boston. They're all huge Patriots fans. And if I don't support the Patriots, the next family gathering is going to be slightly uncomfortable. So I am going with the Patriots. I don't know what you're going with. But I love that Gisele Bündchen, who's the wife of Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, sent an email to her closest friends, which, of course, immediately got leaked to the press, right? She's the big fancy model, married to Tom Brady, asking them to pray for her team. So there you have it. 404-872-0750. Lots of interesting things to talk about. Lots of stuff going on with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the President's Program. I did a whole bunch of stuff on Money Watch this week. I want to talk about some other big news in more in the real estate area. Mortgage interest rates fell to another record low. We'll talk about that. There's just, you know, as always, so much going on in the world of business and finance. 404-872-0750. Larry joins us on the line from Cumming. Hey, Larry.
Hi. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
What I wanted to know is, I know Clark Howard does not, he's not very enthusiastic about it, indexed annuities or any annuities. I wanted to see how you felt about it.
Clark and I, this is one of the places, one of the many places that Clark and I feel pretty much the same way. I think that indexed annuities, I know that even the president talked about how indexed annuities might help people get a little bit more return from their money. But, you know, at their bare essence, indexed annuities, I'm having a little more caffeine this morning, indexed annuities are basically mutual funds with an insurance wrapper.
Okay.
So what Clark and I don't like about them, right, is that you have a fee, a management fee, and all kinds of other fees, marketing fees that you pay on the insurance part of that, and then you have the same fees that you also pay on the mutual fund side of that. So you end up paying twice for something that isn't such a great deal. And I know that indexed annuities are changing and there's different kinds of things. Now, the one kind of annuity I do like, right? So let's get more specific. I
Okay.
do like immediate annuities in some cases for some people. But you have to make sure you understand what the commission is that's being charged, how much you're really putting at risk, what you're getting back from it. So the way those work is, let's say you give a company, big financial company, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, Vanguard, they all do it. And let's say you give them $100,000, and they will give you back $482, I'm making this up completely, every month for the rest of your life.
Right.
Right? And when you die, what happens to the rest of that money, if there's any left? Or do you get, in some cases, you get the principal returned back to you? So you have, there are lots of little things that you have to look and see. Now, the problem
with
the way...
How about the annuities that if you die, that there's an insurance policy tied in with it, usually a term policy, which is pretty considerable, you know. And then if you live, let's say somebody's 50 years old or whatever, and they want to have a lifetime income, you know. Now, from what I understand, the indexed annuities, on the downside, there's no risk, and, you know, so it usually can't go above 12% or whatever on the upside. But the idea of a lifetime income, especially today, to where, you know, if people aren't saving, you know, the way they should, then if they have $100,000 or $200,000, they put it into it. Then, you know, like I said, if they die, there's money there for the family. If they live, then there's a lifetime income. What do you think about that?
I think in concept it's fine. The real problem is what happens in practicality. And the people you go to for advice are the ones who sell you this stuff.
Right.
So that's a major conflict of interest. What are they going to tell you? You need an annuity.
Okay.
And so annuities gets, you know, what you'd want to do ideally is go to somebody that you just pay for an hour of their time, have them lay it all out, and then, but start the conversation by saying, I'm never going to buy one of these from you. I may buy them from somebody else, but I want to be really clear. I'm buying your advice on what I should do, and I'm not going to come back and buy it from you.
Okay.
So if you want to find the right person, and they're willing to do that, where you just pay them an hourly fee, and you have this discussion, you might get some independent helpful advice.
Okay.
But, you know, I find that the way these things are sold and how much they cost, you know, you could say if somebody has managed to save $100,000 or $200,000, they're better already than 89% or some really high number of the American public.
Right.
So now they've got $200,000, and what are they going to get every month? Like $600? Is that a life-changing amount? Is that going to keep them...
Uh-huh.
Right? So what do you, when you say, oh, they can have lifetime income, well, if you're 50 and the actuaries say you're going to live to 85, they might only be getting $200 or $250 a month out of that $200,000. Remember, the insurance companies are not in this to lose money. I mean, I just want to point that out for anybody at home who's thinking that this was like, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. They're in it to make a whole lot of money. And you're in it to try and make your money go as far as possible. And those two things are completely divergent. And insurance companies have made a lot of money on annuities, all different kinds of annuities. And they sell them willy-nilly to people that should not be buying them. They show you charts and they tell you about vanishing premiums. And it's all just a load of bunk, really.
But a better thing then would be a mutual fund with no really... big commissions, you know.
I'd rather see you put money into an indexed mutual fund.
Okay.
That maybe is designated towards dividend paying companies.
Okay.
So there are companies right now that are paying 3%, 4%, 5%, and that's what that fund returns to you. Plus, if there's any appreciation in the stock price.
Right.
That kind of a, you know, there you have your 3%, 4%, or 5%. You have more control over it. You can decide to change at any time. You lock into an annuity, an immediate annuity. It's really expensive to change. There are surrender penalties. There's all kinds of penalties attached to it that never get explained properly up front. Or I should say never say never, but almost never get explained properly in a way that people can really understand them. And so everybody calls and says, isn't this the greatest thing since sliced bread? And I just, you know, this is, and now I've walked you through why Clark and I always say no to annuities, because really the number of people for which this is a benefit is just a really small number. And there are huge risks. It's never risk-free. You know, when you say to me, from what I understand, there's no risk to the downside, no, that isn't true. So I know that you're not getting accurate information, Larry, and I'm just trying to show you the light so you can protect yourself. 404-872-0750, 22 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. Be back right away on News Talk WSB.
And you can dance.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink, your host for the next hour and a half. So glad you're here with us. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about what happens when you are in a foreclosure situation or you've been foreclosed on, and if you possibly can take advantage of the OCC and what they have proposed in a settlement with all of the big lenders. So we're going to talk about that coming up. We're going to take your calls. There is a lot more news to talk about with Fannie Mae. I don't know if you caught the New York Times story today. Huge story on a guy who was foreclosed on, which he feels was illegal, and then undertook a huge investigation of Fannie Mae and then brought the results of all the fraud, all the stuff that we've seen now, to the doors of Fannie Mae, and they didn't do anything. 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a flash on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions, only on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me this morning. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Go online and visit my website. If you haven't done that, it's thinkglink.com. thinkglink.com. I'm also on Twitter this morning. Feel free to tweet me your questions or comments about the show, and we'll discuss them on air. It is the most interactive I know how to be. We also have a Facebook fan page. If you're not a fan of it already, go ahead and like the page. That would be great. And visit all kinds of other things that we do in the ThinkLink community. MoneyWatch.com, the Equifax Finance blog, expert real estate tips on the YouTube channel, all kinds of cool stuff going on in the ThinkLink community. 404-872-0750. Scott joins us on the line. Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. The reason I call is not necessarily for a question, but I wanted to bring something to light that ran into that I had a problem with. And I think it's important that your listeners understand that I was in a Chapter 7 about 4 years ago. I was through the reasons for it, but ultimately what it came out to is I was able to rebuild my credit, and this past year I applied to purchase a new home, and I voluntarily moved out before the bank had foreclosed on the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just one of them. If I can't afford it, I'm not going to live there. So I had moved out. Come to find out, when I went to purchase the home this past year, they never foreclosed on it. It got lost in the system.
Wow.
So for all intents and purposes, I could have lived in my previous home for over 3 years and paid nothing.
Right.
So when I went to apply for the new loan, and that what ultimately came out was the lender said, okay, the problem is I got a rental. And I was able to show a rental history, and I know that I've listened to your show, and I've listened to Clark's show, and different callers have called in and have been in the same situation I'm in. And they ultimately, if a person wants to purchase a home, they're going to eventually work their way, if that's a goal, they're going to get to it. And I know that there are some people that are taking offers from the banks to stay in the home, pay the taxes and insurance, et cetera, but they're not paying the mortgage, so the house is not vacant.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't reestablish that credit history, and that's what my lender wanted. They wanted to see 3 years of a payment history on a rental, so to show that I wasn't living on for free.
Right.
And that made the difference. That when it came to the closing table, that made the difference because I was able to fix everything else in the credit. But they're like, "Where have you been living?" And I said, "Well, this is what I've been doing." And they said, "Okay, we need that because if I was not able to show that, they were not going to approve the loan."
So let me just jump in and say that what you did was the essence of what we were talking about last weekend with my friend Steve Ely of eCredible of alternative credit.
Mm-hmm.
Lenders took a look at your 3 years of rental payments,
mm-hmm.
and they accepted that in proof of a huge piece of this, which is that you were not living high off your lender by not, you know, just living in the house and not paying for it. You actually were out there rebuilding your credit, and they accepted that. That's called alternative credit. It's not that it came through FICO or any of the other places. It came from you doing that. That's great. It's exactly how the law is supposed to work.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes when different callers, and I've listened to different programs, and people talk about, well, maybe I'll just live here for a year or 2 years and, you know, not pay anything. But ultimately, I think in the long run, it's nice to live somewhere for free. If you get free stuff all the time, it'd be great. But I think, in a way, some people don't realize that down the road that can hurt them.
Yes, it can hurt so much. And I'm so glad you called the show, because I'm really thrilled that you were able to buy a new house just 3 years out from coming out of your Chapter 7. I mean, that's really terrific.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it was a godsend, because I am in a better place now. I'm actually better interest rates. You know, I mean, it has worked out fantastic for me. I mean, granted, the reasons I ended up there, but I, like I said, my biggest thing is making sure that some people, things that seem like a gift in the beginning, can end up becoming an anchor.
You are so right. Amen to that on a Sunday morning. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you taking my call. Have a great day.
Thank you. You do the same. 40 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Dave joins us on the line from Cumming. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Elise. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you so much for hanging with us. What can I do for you?
Well, I apologize if what I'm about to ask you sounds obtuse. But,
you know what? You couldn't possibly ask me a question that I don't think is interesting, so go for it.
After a period of unemployment and underemployment, I went through a foreclosure, and to the best of my recollection, it was like fourth quarter 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard from several sources that some legislation was passed by the Obama administration that basically was meant to help people that went through this kind of problem, and in essence forgave the gap between what the house was ultimately sold for by the whoever foreclosed on it and the original mortgage that was on it.
Yes, that's true.
And what I'm trying to figure out is if I fall into that place where I'm forgiven, or if I'm going to have a W-9 show up on my doorstep in a year or two and my wages garnished and I'm going to be right back in a credit problem.
So a couple of things to clarify, and then I want to tell you about something you may be eligible for.
Okay.
So the first thing is that what was forgiven is your IRS tax that you owe on the difference between what the house sold for and what you owed. So, for example, let's say you owed $150,000 and the house sold for $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there's a $100,000 difference. To the IRS, that $100,000 difference is known as phantom income.
Okay.
They treat that as a gift, which is income to you, and so that $100,000 looks like pure income to the IRS. It adds on to whatever other income you had, and suddenly you go from earning maybe $20,000 a year to $120,000, and you have to pay tax on that $100,000 phantom income at the marginal tax rate, which might be 25 or 30%.
Right.
That's what got forgiven. The IRS is no longer treating it like that. However, some lenders, although they forgave, or it looked like they were forgiving, if you didn't actually get a document saying that that had been discharged and was forgiven, could resell that to a credit collector who could then start chasing you for that money.
Okay.
And I don't know. So when you say forgiven, the question is, did the lender forgive it? The IRS is never going to come after you for the difference.
Okay.
For their share of the taxes. Now, if you went into foreclosure in 2009, you may be eligible for an independent foreclosure review. People whose primary residence were part of a foreclosure action, and an action doesn't necessarily just mean total foreclosure. You know, for you it did, but it could for other people just mean you got a foreclosure filing, whatever.
Uh-huh.
You, between January 1st of 2009 and December 31st of 2010, if your loan was serviced by a participating servicer, which is pretty much 25 or 30 of the biggest servicers out there.
Right.
You may be eligible for an independent foreclosure review. And this is from the Federal Reserve and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, which regulates federal banks. And the website, which is horrible, it looks like a total scam, but is not, is called independentforeclosurereview.com. It's basically a one page, it's white. It's got black type and a couple of blue buttons and blue links. But it is from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, the OCC, the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System, the Fed, and then two very reputable loan scam websites, like how to avoid loan scams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you have to qualify for is that Your loan was serviced by one of the participating lenders. So who was your lender?
Originally, it was Countrywide, but it was sold to Bank of America when they bought up.
Great.
Countrywide.
So Bank of America and Countrywide are both covered under this. Okay? And it could be some examples of situations that may have led to financial injury are, for example, the mortgage balance at the time of the foreclosure action was more than you owed. You were doing you were in a loan modification agreement, doing everything you were required, but they still foreclosed on the property and sold it. The foreclosure action occurred while you were protected by bankruptcy. You requested assistance, submitted complete documents on time. You were waiting for a decision when the foreclosure occurred. There were fees charged or mortgage payments were inaccurately calculated, processed, or applied. And the foreclosure action occurred on a mortgage that was obtained before active military service began or while you were on active duty or within 9 months of after it ended. So those are some examples of how this could have led to injury. Now, if you were in foreclosure in that time, you may have gotten a letter at the end of the year that talked about this. But if you didn't, and I think most people won't, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can call the company that's handling this for the OCC. Do you have a paper and pen? I'm going to give you this phone number.
I do. Mm-hmm.
888, it's toll free, 888-952-9105. Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., or Saturdays, 8 to 5. You can't call today because it's Sunday, but you can call tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 888-952-9105, and you can tell them that you were foreclosed on in the period and you want to have an independent foreclosure review, and that they need to send you the paperwork. Once they send you the paperwork, which should happen in 7 days, then you're going to fill it out. You can call that same number and get help filling it out if you need it. And then there's going to be some sort of a review, initial review, to determine whether or not you're eligible. And then, if you are, you'll find out. And then the next thing that happens, it'll take probably 4 to 5 months, maybe longer. They're going to actually go and do all the paperwork to figure out what happened for you. So I encourage you to do this because you fell within that time period, January 1st, 2009 to December 31st of 2010, and the website is called independentforeclosurereview.com.
Okay, I'm not sure that any of the instances you mentioned...
Those are just samples. But you don't know if you were foreclosed on with an incorrect amount.
No, I don't know that.
And you're asking me if that amount's going to be forgiven, and I'm telling you that on the IRS side it is, but it may not be on this side, right?
Yeah, my biggest concern is that while it's within the statute of limitations, B of A comes back and says, well, Mr. Craig, we're going to garnish your wages for 70 grand.
Yeah, that would be annoying. But it would be really nice. It would be really nice to have an independent foreclosure review. If you want to know more about what you may still owe, if anything, then what you want to do is probably call a real estate attorney and have them look at your foreclosure documents.
Okay.
But I think you should do an independent foreclosure review. And the reason I say that is there is money at the end of the line for people who are not treated correctly. There's a huge pot of gold here that is going to be parceled out to people who were injured. And I think there are so many more people who were injured than even know that they were injured. And I want people to be able to get some of this pot of gold. I really do. I just think it's fair, and it's negotiated. It's already done. This is a different deal than the $25 billion foreclosure settlement that the attorney generals are working on. This one comes from the Fed and the OCC. And anybody, I mean, I'm putting this out there, anybody who was foreclosed on in this time period should try and figure out if they are eligible for an independent foreclosure review. Now, it could turn out that they did the right job at the right time and, you know, you didn't get screwed. And I hope that's the case. But if you did, then you should have a review. It's free for you. Free for you. And it will go through the Fed. And hopefully there's some recompense coming back to you. And it just strikes me that this is something that everybody should do who's eligible. One more time, independentforeclosurereview.com, place to go. You can find it on makinghomeaffordable.gov. I'll put it up on the ThinkLink blog. There's all kinds of places that you can get more information. 404-872-0750. It is 50 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. Don't forget to check out the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today. They are looking at the funding of road projects, a particular road project that may be the answer to traffic relief on Interstate 75. Boy, that would be nice. 10 before the hour, AM 750, and now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on. Weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey. And midday every Sunday with Elise Glick on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glick. We're listening to Madonna today. She's going to be singing at the Super Bowl, which she described as giving a sermon that she has 8 minutes to prepare for and 7 minutes to deconstruct the sermon of on the Madonna Mount. I don't know. It was a really interesting way of describing it. But she said she's very nervous. It may be the pinnacle achievement of her career, and she's very excited. So I'm going to be watching. I don't know about you. 404-872-0750. Tina joins us on the line from Jefferson. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Elise. I'm glad you took my call.
Happy to help out. What's going on today?
Well, we had a house fire February of last year.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Was everything destroyed?
Well, kind of. We were charging the boat battery. Battery charger shorted out. Coffee, basement on fire. Oh. Destroyed part of the house, but mainly everything was smoke damaged. We was able to remodel that house.
Mm-hmm.
From the, we settled on the structure.
Okay.
Like, $206,000 on the structure.
Okay. And what about the contents?
We're still working on that.
Okay.
But from the $206,000, we've remodeled the burnt house, and I bought two additional houses. So,
How did that work out? You were able to remodel the house for less than what they gave you?
Yes.
Okay.
My husband does construction work, and, you know, so we was able to go in and do it ourselves.
Okay. That's fine. And so what's your question for me?
Well, do I have to pay taxes on the money I've got so far?
Typically not. You know, proceeds from an insurance settlement, if you settled with them for $206,000 because they believe that's what it was going to cost to rebuild the house, you shouldn't have to pay taxes on that.
Okay.
And
you have to report it.
No, it's an insurance settlement, so it may, I don't know if there's a place on the IRS form for an insurance settlement. There might be.
Okay.
Who does your taxes for you, though?
Normally my daughter-in-law does them.
Okay. Is she a tax professional?
No.
Okay. I think this might be the year to use a little bit of that money and go make an appointment with an enrolled agent or a CPA. Somebody who really does taxes for a living who has some credentials behind it.
Okay.
And just make sure that you're doing fine.
Okay, good.
I just, you know, whether you spend a cut, you probably spend $200-$300 on it. Everything will get filed. This is what I would call a complicated return.
Uh-huh.
Because you have some money that's come in from this insurance settlement, and I can't tell you, because I am not a tax professional, I can't tell you where that gets reported on your schedule. Whether it's Schedule C or it's Schedule A, I mean, I can't tell you where it is. And
okay.
I would just feel so much more comfortable if you had a professional take a look and was able to walk through the numbers with you. Now, how much are they looking to give you? Typically, it's half for contents. Are they looking to do that for you?
Well, during the process, the agent that I started with, he told me they were going to depreciate my items 30 to 35%.
Okay.
So, he left, another one took over, and now he's depreciating my contents 50% or more. You know, and it's like, it feels like I'm just being bombarded with, they need more information. I had a antique churn, which we used as a piggy bank. I put down $300 in the piggy bank.
Okay.
Well, he needs more info on that.
Well, you know what? This is just a process to wear you down, and you're just going to have to stand tight and provide it. But it's a great lesson. I have a change jar. I take pictures of it all the time. There are people that, you know, who go around the house like I do, and you take pictures and video and images of all the things that you have in your house. And then that's how it gets covered. And remind you, so whatever you have that proves it, that's what you're going to need to sort of work with them on. And I think it'll make a difference. Just hang tight. Let me know how it goes, Tina. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk. Be back in a flash on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Back, everybody, to the Elise Glenk Show. It is 8 minutes past the hour. Our number 404-872-0750. Online all the time. ThinkGlink.com. THINKGLINK.com. If you haven't been to my website in a while, check it out. It's got a whole new navigation system. We think it's a lot easier to find things. The search is there. And then sign up for the free weekly newsletter, because then once a week, you get a newsletter in your email box on Thursday mornings early that gives you access to all the cool new content we created in the week, whether it was on Money Watch or the Equifax Finance blog or at thinklink.com. You just get a link to everything, and it makes it really easy. There's 20, 25 new pieces of content every week, and you don't have to go searching for it. It all comes to you in the box in the email. So just sign up for the free weekly newsletter on thinklink.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All right, 9 minutes past the hour. Bob joins the show. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, Elise. I'm just driving through town and on my way back home to the mountains of North Carolina, and I was listening to your show, and I thought that situation I have had with reverse mortgages might be germane to the kind of program you have.
It certainly is. We talk about reverse mortgages often. Tell us what happened.
Well, everything's been positive. I don't know in North Carolina, I mean in Georgia, whether you have the same requirement as we do in North Carolina, but before you have a reverse mortgage in North Carolina, you have to go through a credit counselor.
Yes, you do.
And you did, same thing here in Georgia?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
I actually believe it's a federal requirement because the underlying people who are guaranteeing it are either Fannie Mae with the HECM mortgage or FHA. And so those are both federal programs.
I guess the reason I wanted to call was that my reserve in my house was sufficient enough for me to go to this, but I was unable to sell my house, and it was on the market for a year and a half, and I had gotten to the point where I really needed some cash.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I had left was to go for a reverse mortgage, and my realtor was touting me off of it because of all the what he regarded as high upfront fees.
Yep.
And I will concede that some of the upfront fees are high, but at times when you're a senior citizen like me, you don't have any alternative but to go that route.
Right.
And so the other positive thing that I would recommend to anybody who's even considering this is that don't take the lump sum. Take it as you draw it down, because the money in there is drawing interest.
Right.
So I don't know what you think of reverse mortgages or what some of your callers in the past have said, but my experience has been very positive.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I actually have touted reverse mortgages as being an option for some people, for a good option for many people who are seniors. I've watched it grow from the time when there was about 4,000 reverse mortgages done until today, when there was, at the height of the market, about 150,000 reverse mortgages done in the U.S. There seems to be, like, there would be a huge need for this. So anybody who's 62 years of age or older, if you own your own house outright or most of it, even if you have a little bit of a mortgage left, basically it pays off the mortgage, and then there's some sort of lump sum. And for some people, the problem that some people have, Bob, is that they don't realize they still have to make the real estate property tax payments and insurance payments.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Not only the real estate property tax payments, but your house insurance payments.
Right, exactly.
But I think the thing that people need to be aware of is that with a lot of senior citizens, you don't have any option. If you can't sell your house, you don't have any income coming in, you've got to get your money some way.
That's right.
And for some people,
just simply eliminating the need to pay $500, $600, $700, $800 a month in a mortgage is the game changer, right? So it pays off your mortgage.
And even
if you don't draw it down, you're still ahead $800 a month, out of pocket.
Yeah, well, I had a second mortgage, so I actually had two mortgages paid.
Yeah.
So the payments of which I don't have to pay anymore.
Right.
So that's been positive, and I think, and it turned out that the credit counselors, when he ran it on the numbers on his computer, it turned out to be almost right on target.
That's great.
And so, and then you still have the opportunity not to do it after you talk to the credit counselor.
Right. You do have a 3-day right of rescission. Well, let me give it for Georgia. And actually, for folks who, we have people from all over the country who listen to the show, actually the world. I have some fans in England, believe it or not. But if you're in the U.S. and you want to talk to a reverse mortgage counselor, let me give you a number that you can call, or rather you can go to the Consumer Credit Counseling Services of Greater Atlanta, which is now known as credibility.org, credibility.org. And they have a reverse mortgage counseling program. And you can go there and find out information and run the numbers and see if it sounds like something you'd want to do or not. And, Bob, I appreciate you saying some good things about it because I have followed some of the less savory elements of reverse mortgages, and there have been some, and those fees are expensive. If you do this, you know, it's a big risk. If you die within a year, it's, like, ridiculous.
Well, I just want to sign off by saying one thing, and that is my experience has also indicated that when you talk to realtors about this, they have a conflict of interest.
Sure, why would they like it?
And don't pay any attention to them.
All right, there words, good words for a reverse mortgage. Bob, I really appreciate you joining the show, and I hope you have safe travels back up to North Carolina. It's beautiful up
there.
Thank
you. Right.
15 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Alex joins us on the line from Decatur. Hey, Alex, welcome to the program.
Hey, Elise, how are you? I love your show. Thanks for all your good advice.
You're welcome. Thanks for saying that. What's up with you today?
I have an opportunity and two problems. I have a rental property with tenants in it that are paying on time. They're interested in purchasing the house outright, but, well, you know, they get qualified. But my problem is I owe $109,000, and, of course, when I appraise it on Zillow, it was almost 50% at $60,000. So when it gets appraised officially, it's probably going to be less than that. My problem is the bank said that I may not qualify for a short sale because I did a loan modification last year.
Mm-hmm.
The second issue is that because it was a conventional, well, because it's a conventional loan, I may not qualify. Well, I don't qualify for a loan assumption. So my question is, if, you know, I want to sell, they want to buy, what happens to that remaining $50,000, or do it? Are they just going to purchase it at the $60,000 or $50,000, and what happens to the other?
Well, okay, what should happen is that you come to the table with $60,000. That's what's supposed to happen. You know, they want to buy for less than you owe. You're supposed to come to the, you know, to the table with the difference, but you probably don't have that. So then you have to do a short sale. Right, then you have to do the short sale, and the lender has to decide that they are willing to allow the short sale. And they may allow a short sale, but they may tap, because this is not your primary residence, they may tap your other assets to get some of that money. And they may not forgive it. So earlier in the show, I don't know if you were listening, somebody asked, well, did the lender forgive it? And the answer is, I don't know. And you'd have to negotiate, when you negotiate the short sale, you have to have a real estate attorney. This is a time where you absolutely have to have a real estate attorney who works for you. Not the mortgage attorney. You need one. Hire one who can help you negotiate this. And go through the Atlanta Bar Association. Don't go through any ads you see anywhere else.
Sorry, go ahead.
They can help you negotiate that so that this part, if they agree to the short sale, that it gets forgiven. It's an if, it's not a definite.
Oh, so they can forgive it. And if they do forgive it, does it still affect my credit for future home purchases?
It certainly does. Yep. You can't get, you owe them an extra $60,000. Now, I will say that just because Zillow says your property is worth half of that doesn't mean it's right. Zillow is notorious for being wrong. So what you really need to do is look around the neighborhood and see what homes are selling for. If they are all selling at $50,000, well, then your house probably is worth $50,000.
So the only two options are short sale and
or foreclosure. You can just hand the property back to the lender and say, hey, there's some people who want to buy this. They're willing to pay $50,000, and then you take the hit on your credit for foreclosures. And your other option is to just not sell it to them, because I know this is not what you wanted to hear. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
I like you, man. You're killing me.
I know. I could just tell you I have a magic silver bullet that I'll give you after the show off the air, but I'd be lying.
I'm looking for.
I'd be lying. So I'm trying to kind of prepare you.
Answered all my questions. I did some research. That's kind of what I just wanted to give one more professional advice to see if you had anything else. But that's pretty much what I've gotten from people I've talked to.
It's totally breaking my heart that you have a buyer and the lender isn't going to help you here.
The worst part is the buyers will even buy it at the price. Like they will take the loan over, and they don't mind the $109,000
right
price. But this is because of the conventional that I can't do that or something.
Right. If it were an FHA, it wouldn't be a problem.
Darn it. There's no such thing as making your loan FHA.
No. No, it has to do with other kinds of fees, and it's just a different loan. It's too late for that. That ship has sailed. You can't go back on that. But, I would say to you that there could be some ways to make the lender a little bit more accessible to you. And that would be, having an attorney help you negotiate this, and that may just be the way you want to go here.
Okay.
But be very cautious about the attorney you hire. That's why I say go through the Atlanta Bar Association, ask for somebody who does this all the time with rental properties. So, for example, in Chicago, my husband Sam's a real estate attorney, which you probably know, and there's one lender, and he got asked by a buyer who wanted to buy a property. And they came in with a higher offer, and the lender took a lower offer that was all cash. And she's like, I don't understand. I've already been pre-approved for this. And he said, oh, well, for that lender, there's only three people who deal with short sales for the whole city of Chicago, and I happen to know them all. And because he's been in this business 25 years, he happened to know the attorney for the seller of the property. So he did a little research, and he found out that the reason the lender didn't take her bid, even though it was for more, is they just didn't have a lot of faith in the lender she had chosen to get pre-approved. It wasn't like she chose Bank of America. She chose a mortgage broker. And so there are all these little things, but it's like not a big number of people who deal with this stuff. In Georgia, a lender may, in Atlanta, maybe the lender has four people that they might be able to, four or five people who are managing all the short sales. So a really good attorney who does this all the time is going to know those four people, have relationships with them, and be able to get further for you than you can get for yourself. And that's why I want you to avoid the scam law companies, because they're not helping anything for anybody. And so I want to make sure that you're getting really good legal advice that can really help you do exactly what you need to do. Thanks for listening to the show, Alex. Let me know what happens. 22 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glenk is live and new to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on AM 750. And now, 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Don't sit there like some silly girl.
26 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Thanks for joining us here on the station. 404-872-0750. Rob joins us on the line. Hey, Rob, we just have a minute, but I wanted to get to your question. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just bought a home recently, and there was no easement disclosed when we purchased it. We had owner's title insurance, Mm-hmm. And it looks like there is an easement now, so we do have a claim.
Okay.
Do I need to get a lawyer? How does this affect my property value? What should I be looking for a resolution?
Well, you should probably get a real estate attorney to help you out. And there are attorneys who do specialize in title issues. Again, the Atlanta Bar Association is the place to go. Ask for the real estate committee. At the real estate committee, once you're on the phone with that person, tell them that you have a title insurance claim. Can they give you a couple of referrals? Call
okay.
those attorneys. Find out how many they've done and what they can do. And get your paperwork together because you'll need it. And then the attorney can contact the title company and present them with a claim. And then you can start that ball rolling.
Okay. So I don't need to use the attorney that I closed with?
No, the attorney you closed with was probably paid for by the mortgage company.
Okay.
This is your attorney that you're hiring, somebody completely who represents you. I would not get involved with the attorney who the lender hired to make the deal happen.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show. 28 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB 404-872-0750. Good news. We got another half hour of the show. Adam Goldfein will be up after that. So we will continue to listen to a little bit of Madonna. Want to make sure that you are getting all the information you need. Don't forget to check out the Equifax Finance blog. And don't forget to tweet me on Twitter. I'm almost at 4,000 followers. Are you one of them? I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Sign up today. I'm Elise Glink. You are listening to AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
You can depend on weekdays with Clark Howard and Dave Ramsey, and midday every Sunday with Elise Glake on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
37 minutes past the hour, Super Bowl Sunday. Glad you could join us here on News Talk WSB. So I don't know if you know this, but I actually have a very popular YouTube channel with 2.5 million video views and almost 3,000 subscribers. And what we have on, it's the channel is called Expert Real Estate Tips. And if you just go to YouTube and type in my first or last name, I-L-Y-C-E-G-L-I-N-K, the channel pops up, or you can type in youtube.com/expertrealestatetips. We have 326 videos uploaded. We have a whole bunch of new ones that we're putting up. We put up one the other day about a new bag that I saw at one of the conferences that I went to. It's called Jersey Shore Season 5 GTL Routine Bag, and it's about this really cool bag that Mike the Situation Sorrentino, ooh, which I didn't mean to actually start playing, sorry, on the air, but you can play it when you go to the YouTube channel. I was looking at it to sort of read the description to you. I don't know why my volume is on here. Anyway, you know, YouTube has become such an amazing way to really make video pop and go live. And so in these 326 videos, I have my most popular video is called Step by Step How to Paint a Room, and it has nearly 500,000 views. I have a really popular one called Designing Your Own House. Things I want you to think about when you're making a big decision like that. This is Sarah Suzanka, who's sort of the popular not-so-big house person. I have a bunch of videos with 100,000 views about that. And then I've got videos on selling your house, staging your house, kitchen design, kitchen cookware, home automation systems, prepping for painting, you know, electrical panel, circuit breaker. I've got 25 how to inspect your home videos. They're really interesting mix of things. And so you'll get to see a lot of me. There's a video called Unclutter Your House that has images of me. There's book videos, all kinds of stuff. And I want to tell you about it because I never talk about my YouTube channel. But these 326 videos, there are 2.5 million views of them, and they are loads of comments. There are really cool things that I think will help you in your everyday life, things that you do with real estate. And so I want to direct you there, youtube.com/expertrealestatetips, or just go to YouTube, put in my name. It'll all pop up, I promise. 404-872-0750. Tammy joins us on the line from Buford. Hi, Tammy. Welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Hi, Elise.
How are you?
I'm good. I have a dilemma, and I want some advice.
Okay.
I bought me a home,
double wide, but it's my home. 17.5 years ago, mm-hmm. July the 11th will be 18 years, and I did a 20-year mortgage, and I put it in the trailer park. I had no patience at the time, so I put it in the trailer park. I paid $199 a month when I moved in here for lot rent.
Okay.
My lot rent is now going up to $490. I pay $470 a month for my lot rent right now. I can't afford it.
Okay.
So, like, I only owe 2.5 years, so, I mean, like, what am I supposed to do?
Well, you're in a really...
I'm going to lose it. I can't afford it. So, like, what happens?
There's nowhere else that you can go to earn an extra $20 a month.
I have, I'm a designer at Home Depot, mm-hmm. and I've put in applications for different jobs. Right now, there's nothing.
Okay. So I wonder, you've been a really good customer of this trailer park for a long time. Have you gone to talk to them?
I have.
And what do they say to you?
Absolutely nothing. I told them that my house goes $419.52 a month, and my lot rent is $470, and you swear from $20 a month. Well, they say it's due to the economy.
Well, you know, they're entitled to raise your rent, and honestly, it's gone up a little more than 100% over 18 years. So it's not as though... It's not a huge rate of increase, but every increase, you know, it's like you know, inflation. Everyone actually makes a difference. But I wonder if you could structure a deal with them for the next 2 years where they leave it at $470 a month for 2 years, and then when your mortgage is paid off, they can raise it to, say, 5.25 or 500. You know, they can sort of take those 2 years' worth of increases and they can go up, and you can pay them the 2 years of increases on the other side when you're going to have more money. But the truth is that they're going to keep raising the rent.
Yeah.
And you have to either sell your house or you have to decide what you're going to do. I mean, if you can get to the end.
How do you decide?
Decide.
What are you going to do? Like, I was 2.5 years in my home, and I'm a single woman, and how do you decide? Like, 21st Mortgage is my mortgage company, and I've been in default 5 times. So how do you decide?
How do you decide what?
I mean, like, if I lose it, what happens?
Well, what happens, you know, you'd want to try and sell it so that you'd get some money out of it. That would be the first thing. It wouldn't be much to pay off your loan. There's probably not much left on it. A couple of $1,000, maybe?
Actually, here's how stupid I am. When I purchased a home in 94, my interest rate was 11%.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wanted to go try to refinance, because 11% is, like, ungodly. I mean, my credit card is only 5%. They will not refinance because it's considered a trailer.
Yeah.
So, SunTrust or any of the big banks, they wouldn't do it. So, I'm stuck at 11% interest. So, I paid $42,000 for the home. I still owe like $22,000 on it.
Well, but if it's going to be all paid off in 2.5 years, then you're done paying interest, and all you're doing now is you're paying off the loan with the money.
Exactly. So, my 1098 said my interest was $14.98.
You know,
so I
understand, Tammy. I totally feel for you, and you could walk away from this.
I don't know how.
Well, you just leave. You stop paying your bills. You walk away. You go find another place to live. You take your money, and that's where you go, and they take over the trailer. But I'd really rather see you, you know, stick it out. Is there room in your trailer for another person to live there?
Yes, ma'am. I have 3 bedrooms, 2 baths.
Okay.
It's it's right at almost 1,700 square feet. I mean, it's a nice home, but for me to get a roommate, wouldn't I have to trust somebody? And
well,
I don't really trust.
Okay.
You know, I mean.
But I can only give you, Tammy, I can only give you some ideas about solutions.
Okay.
So getting somebody in there who's going to contribute $200-$300 a month is going to be a life changer for you.
Yeah.
So maybe you have a friend who wants to move in for a while. Maybe you have, they have a friend that they trust that you could get to know that would move in. I wouldn't put an ad on Craigslist. You know, I wouldn't do that. But you have to tap into the community in which you live and your community of your people, your friends, your relatives, whoever it is, and see if there's somebody who can help you out. You're in real trouble, and you know it. So
yeah.
One option is to just walk away and go find a place to rent and, you know, pay less, although, you know.
So what is my credit like? Like, if
you've
had, if I was to walk away, I mean, like, I walk away. I still owe my home. And let's say they foreclose on me. And I lose my home. Like, what does my credit look like?
It looks terrible, but your credit may or may not be that good anyway. I don't know what it is. Have you looked lately?
No, I've never looked.
Well, you should look. It's good to know these things. You can go to annualcreditreport.com, get a free copy of your credit history. You can pay $9 for credit score if you want.
Okay.
And see what it looks like. And I will tell you that if you go into foreclosure, it's going to, you know, hurt your credit. But if you could get somebody to pay you $30,000 or $35,000 for your double wide, then you walk away with a little bit of money and you're done. Those are your options. Or find somebody to help you defray the cost. Or take a second job if you can find one.
What about, well, I'll try to take a job. What about equity? I mean, like,
you have equity in this house. Maybe. I don't know what it would sell for today. I'm just making up a number at $30,000.
Well, it probably wouldn't sell for nothing. I mean, it's a double wide and it's in a trailer park. it's my home.
There's no equity. If you owe $22,000 and the house would only sell for $22,000, there's no equity in this house. You've paid all these years to live there, but there's no equity in the property.
So, see, I absolutely did everything I've done to hold on to my home, and I got nothing, huh?
You might or might not. I don't know.
Yeah, probably so.
But if you want to stay there, you got to find a way to bring in more money, or you have to come up with some sort of deal with the owner of the trailer park on postponing any increases till the rent's paid off, and then they can add it on, because then your home is going to be free and clear. And you have to, you know, decide whether you want to stay or whether you want to go. But I don't, unfortunately, have any magic bullets for you either, Tammy. It's a little bit like you have to decide how it's going to be. But I think at your point, credit is the last thing you should be thinking about.
Okay.
It shouldn't matter. Now, you say that it's a double-wide trailer, but it may be considered a manufactured home.
That's what it's considered, a manufactured home.
Well, manufactured homes can be refinanced. You may be able to refinance it with an FHA loan. So why don't you go find a legitimate lender.
Okay.
And talk to them about financing or refinancing a manufactured home.
I could do that. Because, you know, when I bought the home, they said it was manufactured.
Well, manufactured home is a lot better than a trailer. Don't ever refer to your home as a double-wide trailer anymore.
Well, you know,
No.
I didn't.
You did to me.
I know. But, you know, at first I didn't. It was my home. This is my home. This is my home. And all of a sudden, it's getting to where I'm getting ready to lose it. So now I consider it a trailer.
Well, let me tell you something. It's still a manufactured home, and you still have options, but you're going to have to move on these different options, and you have to make the first decision, which is whether you want to stay or whether you want to go. And if you want to go, it's easy to have somebody foreclose on the property, and you're out, and you're done. And if you want to stay, then you have to figure out a way to pay for that staying for the next 2.5 years until your income frees up a little bit. those are the big essential decisions that only you can make. I can only guide you a little bit. But let me know what happens, Tammy. I'm a little bit worried about you. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglenk.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glenk Show here on News Talk WSB. Thanks for joining us today. Let's go back to the phones. Catherine joins us on the line from Woodstock. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, I am struggling with my house right now. I've done everything in my power to keep my mortgage up to date. I don't have it, you know, try not to get behind on it. I was told about the HART program, so I wanted to call in and get some feedback. I called my mortgager, who is Bank of America right now.
Uh-huh.
I have a 5%
yep.
rate right now with $91,000 left on it. I do have a second mortgage of $32,000. They said that the value of the home right now was at $98,000.
Okay.
And they're telling me because of that, the only thing they can do for me is refinance at 4.75 with no points, but with a $2,500 closing cost, which is a little high. It will only save me $90 a month. I'm trying to see whether or not it's worth it. Is there any way that I can get a better rate? I was told that there would be no closing costs when talking to my friend, but now they're telling me there is one. But I really do need to get my mortgage, my first and second mortgage pricing down. So what can I do in this space?
Well, so Catherine, it's been a real frustration for the Obama administration that the lenders are still charging closing costs when they're not supposed to be. Now, some of those closing costs could be prepaid interest, and I don't know what those closing costs are, but they're not supposed to be charging them. 4.75% is about 1% higher than what's going on now, and it seems to me that what they've done is just wrap the closing costs into the higher interest rate, and that's all you're getting. Now, your house is underwater, so your options are limited anyway. The Obama administration has instituted HARP 2.0, which is kind of the next generation of the Home Affordable Refinance Program. And lenders, for people who are seriously underwater, which you are, they are giving them an opportunity to refinance. But it sounds like $90 a month isn't really going to help you all that much.
Well, no, it won't.
How much help do you really need?
Well, it would be wonderful if I could get like $200 or $300 down a month.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an awesome help for me. But right now, and when I asked him why was it 4.75 when the young lady told me about it was down to 3%, he said, well, because you're underwater with the loan to value of your home,
right?
I wouldn't even be able to offer you anything. But because of HARP, I'm at least able to offer you the 4.75.
And that's true. That's absolutely true, what he told you.
Right. But, you know, I've always been told if it's not at least 1%, don't even bother with refining.
Well, so, it's a problem. Yes. Well, I don't think those rules go, you know, are helping you very much here. The 1% rule, the 2% rule, I don't know who told you those. In a previous life, that might have been helpful. But in your situation now, you have to decide if you're willing to do this for $90 a month. And if not, because that's going to just extend the life of your loan, you might want to just wait and see, because the Obama administration is trying to push through legislation that would require lenders to write down the value of the loans to where the homes are actually appraised. I don't know if this is going to go through. We're watching it carefully, but you may just want to give it a few more months to see what shakes out. Catherine, thank you so much for your call. It is 58 minutes past the hour. Adam Goldfein is next. I am out of here, folks. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Go Patriots! Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you next Sunday.